Right, we are live. I'm here with Tom. Hey, you, or how do you say it? Is that right?
It's Callaway, actually, but
Callaway.
that's
I'm
all right.
close.
No,
Sorry.
you're close. Yeah, no, I answer to anything.
And we'll be back shortly after these clips, and we have some pretty interesting stories to share. All right, guys, stay tuned. Welcome back to Psychic Seer podcast, and I want to get to introduce myself as well. I'm your host, Nicole Jasper, and I'm also an author, and great to talk to fellow authors as well and podcasters alike. And so we have that in common, right? Anyway, so
Absolutely.
yeah, go ahead, take over, and then hopefully
Sure.
they'll enjoy
Thank you so
this
much.
topic today.
Thank you so much for having me on your lovely
Anytime.
podcast. I appreciate
Yeah.
we've known each other for a little bit before we actually got on to the podcast. So it's more like a couple of friends talking about cool stuff, because that's probably the most important thing we have in common, right? Is our love for this unknown, anything in the paranormal realm. So
Right.
it's good to be on finally, and it's good to talk about some cool stuff with your wonderful audience. I want to make this just so everybody knows me. Feel free to comment. I'll answer any question on air about anything I might know. And believe me, I'm not a know-it-all or anything like that, but I might have an answer for you, or can theorize, and we can vet out any idea that we want. But yeah, so again, hello everybody to this new podcast that I'm guesting on. I am the co-host of Chasing Prophecy, where we talk about everything beyond the scope of normal. So, in a similar vein to Nicole's podcast here, we have guests weekly. You can find us at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on UPRN, and we're also on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, follow us on YouTube. And also, if you're in Louisiana or the Gulf Coast, you can find us on the radio at UPRN's radio stations 105.3 and 104.7 in the Gulf Coast. So that's where Chasing Prophecy is, by all means. So, but the easiest way is follow us on Facebook, wait for us to go live Tuesdays at 7, comment, engage, and everything like that. I'm also starting a new show on the same network. This would be Thursdays at 6 o'clock, and it is Beyond the Radar. I will talk about everything beyond beyond the radar. All news stories. This is a news-based show, and our website has fully launched. Nicole, I showed you that website. Thank you for
Right,
your
let's see
feedback
so
on it.
far.
Excellent. So, yeah, one of the biggest things about the website is this is going to integrate all of you. So I want all of you. You catch something in your house, paranormal. You catch a UFO outside, a ghostly, maybe a cryptid story. Do you know where to go with that, Nicole? There's no 911 for that.
To
You
be
know what I mean?
honest, no, not
Yeah,
really.
there isn't. So Beyond the Radar, you'll be able to upload and submit your cool stories, and we will talk about them on air. And
I have quite a few.
If you're willing, you can hop on with us and get on the radio and talk about what happened and all the cool stuff that's going on. So that's going to start not tomorrow, but next Thursday. Awesome. Beyond the Radar on UPRN, and follow me on Facebook at Beyond the Radar News. And you can, you know, same thing as Chasing Prophecy. We'll go live right there. I also have a book. Thank you for mentioning the author part. A book coming out in May. Healer. It's my first fiction book. And it's gotten a lot of good reviews. So I'm excited. Hopefully it can, entertain the masses. So in a nutshell, yeah, that's me. That's what I've been working on and what I've been up to.
Awesome. So what initially got you started in the podcasting arena?
Good question, because I actually didn't know that I wanted to be a podcaster. I didn't set out, at first to be that. It just sort of happened organically. So I've always been into the paranormal, the supernatural, all that kind of good stuff. I was raised in an X-Files household, right? So that kind of thing, unsolved mysteries and all of that. Yes, yes. So, I was always, it was always talked about, I guess, right? In my upbringing. So it was never like hushed or, that's weird or anything like that. We were sort of encouraged to talk about these sort of things. So it's just was second nature to me. So I always, had an interest in it. And then as I get older, as you get older and you start, having more time on your hands, in terms of, but in terms of being able to spend time on hobbies and things like that, I just naturally got back into it. And, something that's now that wasn't back then is podcasts and media and radio shows and thing and being able to get yourself out there, more easily than maybe it was 20, 30 years ago, right? So I joined an online meetup group. I joined a paranormal society. I started investigations. I started just meeting and talking to people around my age. I'm Eastern Pennsylvania. I just say Philadelphia because that's the stereotype of PA. You're either Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
I'm not here in Southern California.
But I'm on the Eastern side there. And I was just meeting everybody around my area, and people have these crazy stories. People have these crazy, wonderfully crazy. And I use crazy in a good term, but, these fantastic stories about everything and anything. And, being in a major metropolitan area, it proves that you don't have to be out in the country on some deserted road to be around something haunting or cryptid or UFO. Some of this phenomena happens everywhere, and you just have to keep your eyes open. You have that skill. I don't know if you want me to call it a gift, because sometimes it probably doesn't feel like one, but it might feel that way sometimes, I'm sure, but you have that skill that I don't. And I just meeting and talking to people, it really helps us connect I don't mean like me, but I mean like the world. It really helps us all connect with each other when we can sit and have a conversation and talk about weird, cool things that some stuff that we used to be laughed at for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just think promoting all this and getting it out there, we're trying to have everybody be able to tell their story. That's a part of all the meetup groups that I've been through. That's part of all the paranormal investigations, none of it. And this is something that was surprising because, again, it was a world that I didn't know. But it's surprising because if it was left up to my own thoughts, my own anxieties, my own self, consciousnesses, right? I would think that if I'm not an expert, people are going to laugh at me. And it was the furthest thing from the truth. This community, and the majority of this community that I've met and ran into, are, oh, that's okay. You know what I mean? And like anything I might not know, they'd be willing to tell you. They'll be willing to help you. They can, they'll hold your hand through different things. And I just, now at this point that I'm in, I want to give back to the new person there. You know what I mean? I want to give back to who I was when I was new coming in, and to let people know, it's okay not to know everything. No one wants you to come in and know, you know, what this type of haunting is compared to that type of haunting, right. or what kind of UFO or,
yeah,
or
still learning new things.
Yeah. I mean, we always are. And I think that's life too, whether it's in the paranormal supernatural realm or not, you know, I guess if you're not learning something new, if you're not continuing to learn, you're starting to fade. That's the way I see it.
Right, I was saying you're lucky earlier because some of us may not have that privilege to tell anybody about our experiences. So at least how we have one person in our family that I find in, you know, she understood my abilities and everything. So I always talk to her, my grandmother.
Yeah.
So, and she's the only one living, so bless her. She's like in her 80s now. So, yeah, she understood, at least.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, that's everything that we need it to be. You know what I mean? We need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. And we need to, you know, just give back to so we can ensure that this continues. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's basically in a nutshell where my thoughts are for all of that, huh?
No, I appreciate you sharing. So I do apologize about the noisy background. We have neighbors have dogs too.
No problem. So, I didn't hear anything.
It's not a ghost dog. It's our neighbors.
All good.
So is there anything else you'd like to share with us? I know you sent me some emails. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'm always... You know, I really do like to follow paranormal news, you know, every day, really. So there was a couple interesting stories that I found that I would like to share with you and your audience. Sure. And one of it, the first one, is about a representative, Tim Burchett at Capitol Hill. He's the second district representative from Tennessee. And he, what this gentleman is the Knoxville, Oak Ridge area, so sort of eastern Tennessee. He's reporting that he was told to stand down, right? To back off of his investigations of UFOs by his own government. And one quote in there that I want to get your opinion on, it's very interesting. It stood out to me. And his quote was, "Congress has been lied to, and the public has been lied to. But we got to have that one person who walks out with a tape or something." He added, "I would tell any whistleblowers to come out, and your country needs you." Isn't that interesting?
It is, yeah.
So what do you think about that aspect of our own senator saying it is being covered up here?
I mean, I can see it to some extent for our protection or others' protection. That they have it classified, you know, but even if they're part of it, they should know at least a little bit what's going on, more so than we, the public, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, we try to be transparent, but it's like a song and a dance every time, right?
Right.
We can't get a straight answer out of anybody.
It's like you don't have to be psychic to figure that out, right?
No, you don't, but it's...
It might help, though.
It might help. It might help. But who knows, you know? But yeah,
we should be entitled to know a little bit, at least what's going on.
I completely agree. I don't know how we can possibly expect anything to move forward in the world of UFOs and UAPs if we're not banging on the door every day. And I'm talking about us as, you know, civilians, you know, people in the community trying to get answers, because it's evident that until that happens, we're not going to get anywhere. So he's right. We need somebody in there with a tape. We need somebody in there with a video or a recording or something like that. And if you're a whistleblower, you need to come out.
That's true. I always say that I'm surprised the Midwest hasn't knocked on my door yet because of all the footage of iPods.
Well, you know? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot the Yeah. That's right. I forgot that
it is on my channel.
You very have very interesting videos as well. And other people have to travel. It seems like they're right outside your door, so that's fun.
Yeah, I have my backyard UFOs. I could call that my Netflix title.
Well, now I have a place where you can upload all of those videos and have them on a map and share them with the world.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, why? So let me ask us this. Let's think of more of a hypothetical question and like a, you know, 10,000 foot view. Why are we interested? What continues to interest us in this aspect, in this realm, in the paranormal? For me, I think it has something to do with our consciousness, our souls, however you want to put it, yearning for more information because we're not satisfied with what's here on Earth.
Right.
What do you think of that?
I feel the same way. It's like, I think we are fearful because we don't know what to expect in an afterlife. Yeah, I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah, you know, I do too. You know, people who have had NDEs, people who are psychic, people who can communicate, I should say, right, with those who have passed on, they're communicating with something. They are right. Communicating with, how do I put it? They're communicating with spirits from a different realm. But it's so hard because not everybody is psychic, right? Not everybody has those gifts.
Well,
not
I think everybody. Some of us are, but it's like not all of us are aware of it or willing to use it.
Yeah, but also we're also taught that it's not real or it's wrong or it's right. bad or we're crazy for believing in it, right?
And depending on what religious background we're from. I was raised Christian Baptist, and for years I was afraid to use the gift because they contradict our
That's so true. That's so true because that one of the first things we learn growing up, right, is religion.
Yeah.
Is good and bad. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. There is obviously truth to good and bad. You need to be a good person. Yeah. You know, everybody should be here or at least striving to be on Earth. But that takes such a deep hold because you're bringing, right? The fastest it's forming is when we're younger. So you have that. It's going to stick with you. It's going to stay with you. And not just the good. Also the bad good too. Yeah. So it's definitely interesting that the religion aspect of it might hold us back. The belief in, I got to word this carefully because I am a big proponent of science, but giving just a complete trust of anything we can measure, I think is wrong. And why I think it's wrong is because who's to say we have the right tools to be measuring in the first place? Let me give you an example.
Right.
There's a boiling pot of water, right? You have a temperature gauge. You can tell how hot the temperature is, right? You put your hand in, you can also tell how hot the temperature is. Well, if you're studying far away, so you can't put your hand in to see the temperature, and you don't have a thermometer, and you have a camera that's looking at it, you can see the steam, you can see the bubbles, you can see all of that. But that doesn't tell you what the degree is, does it? So that's that's the wrong tool to measure what that is. Using that, we can measure EMF readers, right? Or EMF readers, we can measure electromagnetic fields. Infrared cameras, we can measure temperatures. But is there a tool right now that can tell you that a entity is standing 10 feet to your left? No, we can measure the measure the disturbance in the the EMF. We can measure the temperature shift. But you can see them. You can talk to them. But do you have a way of pulling out some sort of device and saying, yeah, they're right here?
There's some newer devices coming out, like the SLS camera, but that's always a hit and miss, too.
Yeah. So. You know, you're right. There is new spectral cameras. And you have other technology like spirit boxes and things like that. But it seems like we're only beating around the perimeter. You know what I mean? And not getting right to the center. And that's totally fine. You know what I mean? Because we're limited by time and place. You know what I mean? We're here at this time and we're on this planet in this realm. You know, one of my favorite descriptions was actually a gentleman, and his name is Brooke, I believe. And he was in one of my groups, one of my UFOs over PA groups, which we just gather people from around the state. Listen, I took this video, you know what I mean? Or something like that. So we were just talking one day and we were talking about, he's a scientist, by the way. He was talking about how it's not really, we're really having a hard time understanding different dimensions because a lot of it is hypothetical. And he was explaining these beings, he believes, are interdimensional, which means they can interact with us and we have a hard time interacting with them. He says all we can do is measure higher dimensions. We can't interact with them. So if you have a piece of paper and you're holding a piece, let's just use this. You're holding this cardboard, right? It's a flat piece of cardboard, 2D in our world, length and width, right? If I put my hand right through it, you know what I mean? And bringing it to it, it's not going to see my hand. It's just going to see the circle of a hand coming and then getting bigger and then getting smaller. That's what it's going to see. It means it can measure what my 3D does. You know what I mean? And but it can't interact with it. That's what he's theorizing UFOs, aliens, and things like that are from a higher dimension. They can manipulate time. And if we were to believe time is the fourth dimension, they can manipulate time to get to us. But we can't do the opposite. So, interesting theory that we have. And, sorry, go ahead.
Sort of like time traveling.
Yeah. If this is the line for time travel and these people can, we're right on the other side that we can't. How do you fix that? I don't know. But it's definitely interesting. And why I bring that up is everybody's opinion, good, bad, or indifferent, needs to be heard by somebody. And that's where the groups, the podcasts, the lives, you know, interacting with fans, interacting with people commenting, that's where it comes from. Because if you think my ideas are just way far out there and wrong, tell me and we'll have a discussion about it. If you agree with me, tell me, because no matter what, you're going to bring something new to the discussion. And that's all that I'm trying to promote for however long I have on this planet, is let's get people talking to one another again. Let's hear ideas. When you have a group of people, I believe they're incredibly dumb. But when you have a person talking to another person one-on-one, there's a lot of intelligence there. Doesn't have to be book smart. Doesn't have to be street smart. You might know how to build something. You might know how to do this. There's an information exchange in the consciousness stream. And I think that happens when anybody gets together.
That's why I enjoy doing Topic Tuesday, because I like to talk about various subjects within the paranormal.
Yeah. So you enjoy it too. You enjoy getting people just talking. Right? So that's where we need to continue this discussion, continue this growth of this community, because you might not know anything. You might know a lot. But coming into a meetup group, UFOs over PA, one of our podcasts, any one of the social pages that we can interact on, you know, you do have people out there that want to throw fake things just to throw fake things, right? But we have to be more skeptical than the skeptics, because we need to weed those people out of our own community, right? We need to
in the middle, because I believe in it. I'm also a skeptic. I've had so many things happen to me not to believe.
Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think, but for you, I think it's easier for you to believe because you were number one. You were that person it directly affected. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the people that they're not directly affected, do you feel like it's your mission to help enlighten them? Or do you think they need to come to it on their own?
Probably a little bit of both. Sometimes it might help if there was someone to help guide and let mentors. You know, like before I got started, I looked out for mentors in the energy and the healing.
Did you find any?
Yeah, I found a couple of great mentors, and they're still here today.
Oh, good.
One of them has been on my show before, and yeah, he's awesome. I learned a lot from about energy wise, you know, how to use energy and healing and Reiki. And all that good stuff before I got into the paranormal.
Well, I'll tell you this about Reiki. I don't have, sadly to say, I don't feel like I have a psychic or energy bone in my body, right? But I had tried Reiki, right? From a practitioner who was very, they weren't even confident. They were confident, but they weren't cocky. They weren't anything like that, that I would feel something. And I'm like, okay, but I haven't, you know, I don't know, all that kind of stuff. I laid down on that bed, right? And it was the most serene and peaceful that I had felt in years, probably, being there. And you're right. And I was a little bit right, too, that it wasn't like a... It wasn't like a physical change, like, oh, now I feel something. You know what I mean? But it's something where the peacefulness, the mellow, the calm, the very peaceful sort of washed over me before you even knew it. It was a different thing than anything. You know what I mean? Like, say you have a headache and you take Advil or something and it goes away, right? That's something that you can track, that you can mark. Reiki really wasn't like that. It was just this serene, where I didn't want it to stop, but I'm sure she had another patient, you know what I mean? But I didn't want it to stop because I didn't want to move off of that bed. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want that to stop. It was something that was so incredible that I just wanted it to keep going. And if that was only a 30-minute test of it, how much better could it be from when you have an unlimited amount of time?
Right, it's an awesome feeling. And my friends would say they would feel the warmth immediately whenever I send out, you know, healing prayers to them.
Yeah. So I believe that they can heal on a vibrational level that others can't. And that's not to say that they are wrong or anything like that. I just think they're more in tune with that spiritual vibration of the healing. Because let's face it, all we are energy waves in a mass form. So energy communicates with us, you know, good ways and bad ways. We hear about people living under telephone wires and things like that, and it's awful. You know what I mean? But
yeah, like I was saying during the solar eclipse, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
go ahead.
Our solar eclipse, I was feeling intense headaches all day. And it's dawned on me, maybe it's from the solar eclipse. And other people, I've wrote it out, and other people felt the same thing. So,
yeah.
I'm glad I was feeling.
No, a lot of people that I've talked to had that. A lot of people, now more measurable over here on the East Coast, I knew a lot of people from a lot of different parts that had cell phone disruption, that had wireless internet, well, any internet disruption. I heard people getting electrical disruptions, like their power going on and off. And you mark from Canada to Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, down to North Carolina. It was all over. So you can't really rule out like it was a local thing. And then I heard other people who said they had a sense of impending doom. Now, okay, that could be anxiety, that could be, you know, worrying, that could be working yourself up. I'm not going to say I know everything here. But people were talking about senses of doom. People were talking. You're not the only one I heard about a headache. I interacted with people yesterday who said that they had headaches and they had a feeling of unease or unrest, I should say. Now, it is something new. You know, if you live a normal average lifespan, you have what, maybe three of these in your life? Four, if you're lucky? So it's conceivable to think that it plays tricks on you. But one thing that I did notice, and I want to, oh, you didn't see, you're right here in California, but other people that I have talked to.
Partial.
You saw partial. Well, there you go. But we were talking last night, right? And we said, you never know how adept you are at your environment until something changes in that environment, right?
Right.
So the eclipse comes. And one thing that I noticed was shadows, because of the sun's rays and everything, they're shooting at a different area. So like if you're traditionally, you see the shadow of a tree going like from this to this during the, you know, the day, it was in a different direction.
Yeah.
I never really noticed that at any other point where the shadow goes. But once it changed, your eyes immediately went to it.
I forgot to look, but I see so many videos. Quite interesting.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that had crazy videos, that had interesting videos. There were people who swore they saw a saucer. Kudos to everybody who got, I mean, I see people and they're, I guess, technically amateurs, but their videos and pictures are wonderful. They did a lot of people did a wonderful job.
Well, I saw one just before the eclipse. So.
Yeah. So people did a wonderful job. Keep up your hobbies. Keep up what you like to do, because those videos were, they were wonderful. They were very, very nice. But yeah, I just, you know, we're still here, right? We're still here from after the eclipse, but
after rapture.
Yeah. But one thing that, I always thought was, I never thought anything was going to happen at that moment. You know what I mean? Like in the actual totality moment, what I'm interested in is the things that happen 6 hours after it, 6 days after it, 6 months after it, and see if we notice any difference between what's coming out, what news we're hearing, and what cosmic events might come down the pipe.
Yeah, no, I was talking about dreams before. I've been having weird dreams before and during the eclipse.
You did mention that. Yeah. What weird dreams did you have?
You know, I should have wrote it down. Like, I know I'll forget later.
Was it like a nightmare or was it a good dream?
It was probably a nightmare because it made me felt really uneasy.
Oh.
You know.
Gotcha.
It made me feel uneasy.
I didn't have a nightmare, but when you were joining us for the eclipse pre-show, everybody on there seemed to have weird dreams. So you weren't alone at all. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, you know, you were 3,000 miles away from a lot of us. So it's definitely very, very interesting how it affects us as humans. So when you have an energy shift on the cosmic level, look how many people down here got affected by it. And I know it didn't like kill anybody, but still, that's a big number.
And we might have even more UFO sightings in this too, I have a feeling.
I agree. I think that with, you know, cameras getting better, everybody having a cell phone, the more and more, the number of cell phones with good cameras is going up every year, right? Out with the old, in with the new type of stuff.
Yeah, that's better with iPhone 16 now. Am I right?
Yeah. They're up to some crazy number, but yeah. So you have all of that going on, right? Mm-hmm. The whistleblower and the disclosure hearings last year, I think, are going to set us up for a lot more of these. And what I mean by a lot more is I don't think that the generation, and there's, you know, the new generation's coming up. It's always, it's the history of the world. I was a part of the new generation and now I'm not, you know what I mean? It's going to happen. Right. And then there'll be a generation before them or behind them. But what I think is, I don't think they do the disclosure at all. I don't think they do the confidentiality at all. I think there's too much going on that you're not going to be able to silence or intimidate a younger generation. So what does that mean? How do you keep control after that? Well, the way to keep control is to utilize technology in a way that you can catch these posts, these videos, these what you call it, before they get out to the internet, and censorship that way. I hope we're not going that way, but I have a feeling it might have been talked about.
Yeah, true. It's funny how they only share bits and pieces of information. It's like, I don't get why they don't share the whole story.
It's a control thing. Yeah. It's not a money thing. I don't believe it's a money thing. I think it's a control thing. I think it's
definitely,
I need to keep control of my power. I need to keep control of this, that, and the other thing. So I need to keep everything hushed, because the less we know as a public, being the silent and the 99% minority, I think we have to really come together, because believe it or not, us, the 99%, will tear each other down before we tear the 1% down, right? We'll talk crap and discredit all of us around each other before we discredit somebody who's actually in power. How to change that? I don't know. All we can do is get on, use our platforms, encourage people to send in whatever information they have, wonderful information, wonderful videos, and talk about it. Because if nothing else, we can use our platform to give voices to people who didn't think they had a chance.
I believe at least we have some tool. We can use the law of attraction in many ways. Like, say, like, if we don't want a certain president to be president, they were voted because we didn't want them to be president. So it works both ways.
Yeah. No, you're right. It does work both ways. We need to...
It's proven me wrong every time. That's why I believe it.
Oh, there you go. But, you know, we really need to come together, enable one another, help one another, and listen to these stories and gather data. You have data that's not going to go anywhere, you know? And even if it comes down to you're not able to use your phone, you're not able to use a camera, you're not... Your eyes, talk to one another, tell people what you saw, where you saw it, what it made you feel inside. Because that's another thing. I don't know, when I've talked to people who have seen UFOs, ghosts, cryptid sightings, you name it. Uh-huh. One thing, now they're all different stories, different criteria, different categories, right? But one thing that's very important that I notice is every single one of them, and I mean almost every single one of them that I've talked to, say, I felt uneasy when I saw it. How many times? There's been a lot of times that I've seen things that I don't know what it is. But
I don't know if you remember that military footage of a jellyfish.
That one too.
Type one that made me feel really uneasy.
Exactly. But we've seen things that we don't know what they are, but we never had that uneasy feeling. You know what I mean? These things, UFOs, cryptids, paranormal, the people that I speak to, they tell their story because they said it made me feel uneasy. I'm certainly not the expert on everything. I don't know all the animals in the forest. But when I saw this, I felt really scared, intimidated, anxious, whatever you want to call it. The UFO was the same thing. And I've unfortunately met people who said, I saw a demon and I felt dread and despair and no hope. So
I know the feeling.
Well, there you go. So when people who come to me and they say that, it's almost like that's a prerequisite for an authentic.
Yeah.
So you know that dread feeling when you see an apparition or an entity or you a spirit that's not good. You know exactly that despair, no hope feeling. I feel sorry for you because it's
especially it's if you're something... also an empath.
What?
Especially if you're also an empath.
You well, feel those feelings. They're intelligent, so they're going to prey on you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that feeling, once you feel it for the first time, it might never happen to you again, but you're always going to remember what it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
And there's new talk, too, about a belief. Now, I don't know if it's a growing belief or if it's always been there. It's new to me in the terms of really getting in and in examining it, where they believe UFOs are actually demonic. What do you think about that?
I've heard that term as well. I mean, how can they even label it demonic when they don't even know what it is as of yet? You know?
Well, fear will probably do that to you.
Yeah. And of course, fear is, they also make us feel fearful as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fear, sad to say, fear and probably fear, not anger, but fear is the predominant feeling on this planet, sadly. What should it be? Yeah. Probably love, acceptance, tolerance, but it's probably fear. So if you're a demonic entity that feeds off of that, where are you going to go?
We are
it's a buffet, right?
We are prey and we are stuff.
Yeah, we are a buffet here. So who knows? You know, I'm not a demonologist. I think you're trying to be, which is wonderful.
Eventually,
and hopefully you go along with that. Yeah, no, I'll be very interested to talk to you about that and definitely have you on my shows to pick your brain about some different things. But
sure, I'm honored.
It's something that we probably need more of, to be fair, on this planet. You probably need more of you out there. Battle
especially
these
as women. It's like there's hardly ever any women in this field or in demonologists as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe I could be wrong, but you know.
No, that's very true. That's very true. But you know, man or woman, we need from somebody on one of my shows back a little while ago that there's an epidemic of souls not being crossed over. Mm-hmm. They don't know that they're dead. They don't go into the light.
Majority of them.
And it's not terrifying, but it's heartbreaking to me. Right? It's very sad.
Especially if they're a child.
What was that?
Especially if they're a child. But again, it could not be a child. It could be an evil entity pretending to be a child.
Shape-shifting.
Yeah. Because I don't believe children can be set, you know. They didn't use that to try to get the wheelers in, so to say.
Put our guard down.
Yeah, I always think twice about that.
Have you ever came across an entity trying to trick you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
What do you do? How do you vet it so you know that this is actually
I use a spirit of discernment. And sometimes I would see them in another pretty sight.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that too. I've done the ghost. I've seen spirits. I've seen UFOs. But I don't know if I want to see a demon.
No, you don't, because it really affects you for the rest of your life. It's like, even though I saw it for a split second, that's how long it takes to leave an impact on your life.
So and you'll never forget what it looks like, huh?
No, it looked like it was on fire. That's the only way I can describe it. And it had black eyes, and it was like orange glow on it.
Yeah.
It was all, I don't know, it's weird. And then sometimes I see spirit portals. as well.
What do they look like to you? What do they look like?
They remind me of like chambers with the round doors, and they're huge. I see one over here on this side, so I had to close that. So.
Okay. So
that's why you see across there. Across there.
And that helps you close them.
Yeah.
So do portals, can portals move?
Oh, yeah, they can really change from our side to small side. They can open and close.
Okay.
Oh, we're losing you. There we are.
I'm here.
My internet. Don't say
anything. Oh, gotcha. But yeah, no, I've always been interested about portals too.
Yeah, it's kind of scary at first because I've never seen one that huge. You know? And I didn't realize they get that huge. Yeah, they have different sizes and shapes. They look like funnels sometimes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They can be inside or outside.
Hmm.
The ones I've seen are mostly inside locations or houses.
Have you heard of Mount Shasta and the portals that are alleged there?
I think so.
Those are more UFO portals, but if you look and you have an EMF meter, you know, around volcanoes and things like that, it's just a naturally higher area. Who's to say a portal can't open up in there?
Right, it's true. Yeah, they can be practically anywhere. And those rings sometimes that you see in the sky, they remind me of portals. It could be very well be portals. Pardon.
Now, even if a portal opens up, you might not see what comes through.
Not all the time, though.
Okay.
But I do get a feeling of how it makes me feel, you know, afraid or in peace, you know, most of the time.
Gotcha. Do you believe that there's active communication between different realms?
I think so. Depending on the intelligence, you know, and everything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
It is. At first I really wondered if there was, you know, whether you believe UFOs, aliens, and things like that are extraplanetary or interdimensional. I've always wondered what could they have made a deal with us? Could they have made a deal with people on our behalf, governments, things like that? And my idea is, what would they want in return for technology? Because let's face it, we've came so far so fast in that realm. You had the Wright brothers in 1902 have a glider plane, basically, and then within 30 years, you're flying across the country. Then now you have jets. And then you went from TVs to flat panel to high-speed internet to digital communication to all that kind of stuff. I thought for the longest time, if we were assisted, maybe not like here, you know, but assisted in making these things, what did we have to give up? Because do you think they want money? Probably not, right? You know, what are they going to have any use for?
Probably not.
So then it comes down to us. Maybe there was a deal that will aid you in technology, but for their reasonings, which whatever it might be, whatever, I have no idea. I'm not going to theorize on it.
But they need that too.
They need people. They need humans.
They need basically, I think, what is our other guest Tom Conwell is saying about how they need him for his energy, right? So maybe they need our energy.
We might be cells. We might be energy cells to them that they're manufacturing here, or we're manufacturing here for them to take. And could that be the whole reason for the government? Could that be the whole reason why we need to keep power? Could that be the reason why we can't talk about anything because maybe no other country knows that we did this? Who's to say?
Yeah, a lot to think about, huh?
A lot to think about. But that's why we have these platforms.
I know we're getting towards, excuse me, my voice. Towards the end of our show, there, you can also like to share how people can find you and everything.
Absolutely. So Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, you can find me if you follow Chasing Prophecy Radio Show, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We go live on Facebook, YouTube, and on UPRN. We're also on Roku TV. You can find us there as well. I will be starting Beyond the Radar, which would be Thursdays at 6 p.m. on UPRN. Again, the same, follow Beyond the Radar on Facebook and YouTube. You can also find us on the web, beyondtheradarnews.com. And that's where you can submit your sightings of UFOs and all that kind of stuff and take a look at everything that everybody else has submitted. I go through those files myself every day. There is no team. It's just me going through. And I'd be glad to talk to you about your different stuff. And finally, my fiction book, Healer, will be coming out May 14th. Keep an eye on it. It's a wonderful story. It is about a psychologist and detective who can absorb people's traumas and all of the, all of the questions that come with that. Is that correct thing to do? Should you be absorbing people's traumas and all of the situations that might abound? So all of those, you know, it's my first published book. Absolute Author Publishing House published me. So please look for it. You'll start to see ads for it if you follow Beyond the Radar and Chasing Prophecy. So that's where everyone can find me and reach out, send a message. There is no team. There is no social media team. You're getting right to me. So thank you.
Awesome. Now, I do have a quick question before we
sure. end. Yeah.
Do you mind sharing? So we talked about UFOs and being intercepted. What would be your first UFO encounter? Do you mind sharing?
Absolutely. So my first UFO encounter was with a bunch of other people, believe it or not. So I was about 9 or 10 years old. I would be 8 years old. It was 1995. And my family was driving down to Florida, right? So we were taking I-95. And if you know the East Coast, I-95 is your hub between Maine and Florida. It's the main one that goes all the way down. So we're on I-95. This is in South Carolina we're at now. We noticed a bunch of cars pulled over on the side of the road, major intersection or, you know, interstate, I should say major interstate. It's go, you know, there's people on the side of the roads all. So my family, my mother, my grandmother pulled over and got out and we look to our right. And there is a lit UFO in the sky, fairly low,
Wow. Fairly low.
And I mean, maybe 1,000, 2,000 feet. It's not really, really high up.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah. So it's almost like a cigar shape, completely illuminated. But here's the thing. I was scared. I was uneasy when I looked at it. I had a lot of despair. And when I saw it, it wasn't light like you would think a light would be. It was luminous to the point that nobody could. This couldn't have been anything terrestrial because you wouldn't be able to see. This thing was so bright and the entire thing was illuminated. Not like, you know, a plane lights, you know, you only see the round lights that are go off. No, this entire thing was illuminated. And no more than 2-3 minutes out of the car, the state police are up and down the highway. They're saying, everybody get back in your cars. We're going to arrest you. You need to go. And saying it's just a blimp. So, you know, not wanting to get in trouble, we got back in the car and started going, but I was terrified. I was so scared about that for a long time because you may think it's interesting, but until you're actually in that position, you don't know how you're going to react. Yeah, but I'm not afraid. Really? That was my first with a ton of people on the side of I-95 back in 1995.
Oh, thank you for sharing it.
No problem.
So that basically got you interested or later on?
I was interested before, but it was the first point that it became real to me, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should relate.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, did it have a light or just was like a glowing ball? That's how
like a cigar shaped, but completely illuminated. No. Mm-hmm. Exterior part, no. And the thing is if this thing was a blimp or some other thing, it wasn't just my, these are rows of cars. I can't tell you how many. I don't remember, so I'm not going to try to guess. But I know we had to drive for a little bit before we could pull over to the side of the road. There was a lot of cars backed up that did not move. So if this thing just tricked me and my family, so be it. But how many other people were there that saw it and said the same thing? So that's what really sticks into my mind all these years later.
Oh, wow. So you have a lot of witnesses.
A ton of them.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's nice to see. I mean, I find it interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, at that point, you're 8, 9 years old. You're scared. Right, so.
Yeah. I can relate because I had an imaginary friend that turned out not so imaginary.
Oh.
When I was that young.
So, there you go. Wow, that's a...
And he was kind of mischievous. Always helping
getting you in trouble, I guess, huh?
Typical culture that he's one.
You know how
it goes. Yeah, that's me another show.
Yeah. Well, I'll gladly have you on to talk about that one.
Sure, anytime.
All right, wonderful.
I can't believe an hour flew by that quick.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun with good people.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun. And thank you for being our guest for the show and for the co-host. You're always welcome back to the
Let me know. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, I'm getting some more guests lined up. I've getting some more guests lined up for May. I know I'm going to take a vacation on the 16th.
I know. Have fun. It's going to be fun for you.
I need that vacation. Let's see. I have Philip Newton. He's all the way from the UK country.
Oh, interesting.
And then I have John Azuna. He's an action star. So, cool. Yeah, he does martial arts, people, and acting. So I look forward to having him again. He was quite a much still a while back.
Yeah. Should be interesting.
Yeah. I only have one or two guests per month to help narrow down.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm not weekly. I'll be like,
ah. Yeah, right. You know how it gets.
I don't know how they do it weekly. But anyway, yeah, so thank you guys for watching and listening. Let us know where you're listening from. And we'll see you guys next week, hopefully.
Bye, everyone.
All right, guys. Stay safe. Thank you, Tom.
Nope, thank you. Thank you. All right. Look forward to it.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Joined our guest today, Tom Dalloway, from Chasing Prophecy podcast. And I'm your host, Nicole Jaspar, the Psychic Seer podcast. See you guys next week.